10, verses 1 through 18. If you're using a Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 896. John chapter 10, I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. So let us hear God's word. We'll note that this is a parable that Jesus, he's speaking here, sharing a parable. John 10, starting with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as a father knows me, and I know the father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Saints, let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking for his blessing. Father, we come to you asking that you would lead us, guide us, open our ears and hearts to hear, and help us to not be only hearers of the word, but doers also. Guide us by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It was in the 1700s where two Moravian Christians felt a call of God on their life to reach African slaves on a particular island. But they had a lot of opposition. A lot of people said, you shouldn't be doing that. They tried to persuade them not to go reach these slaves. These Christian brothers, they were convinced that all people needed to hear of the Savior. And so they willingly sold themselves as slaves in order to go and reach slaves. And as it were, they got onto the slave ship. And as that slave ship pulled away from the shore, it's recorded that they yelled out to the family members who were there watching. And they said this, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. They cried out, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. We'll see more of that impact, the impact of that statement, as we move along. But you'll note the teaching of this passage is in many ways very simple, right? We're talking about sheep, shepherd, simple concepts for children to understand. And yet, the implications of the passage are both profound and personal. So, God from His Word is calling us, calling you His people, to go find the sheep of the Good Shepherd. He is calling you to go find the sheep of the Good Shepherd. We start in verses 1 and 2, and we see opened up before us a war, a raging spiritual war. I don't know if you caught it, so let me read again verses 1 and 2, and note the tension that is going on. Verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So we have here this imagery of a sheepfold, a gated-in area in which the sheep can have safety. And then they'll be led out by the shepherd through the normal means of the gate, the door, to get in and out of the sheepfold. They'll be led out to pasture. But then they can come back in safety in that sheepfold. But then it says there are these thieves and these robbers who are not coming in through that normal way of the gate or the door. They're sneaking in, climbing over. And their aim is to undermine the work of the shepherd and to hurt the sheep. We see the tension, the warfare, so to speak, going on. And Jesus is warning us to be aware of such thieves and robbers. And if he's warning us about them, we should know maybe who they are. Who is he referring to? Well, to figure out who he's referring to, it's good to step back a little bit and we'll see the context of who Jesus is talking to. So in John 8, Jesus is speaking to Jewish religious leaders, to scribes and Pharisees. And they start to dispute with him. And at the end of that section in John 8, those religious leaders pick up stones to go stone Jesus. Jesus escapes. But then we come to chapter 9, and Jesus miraculously heals a blind man on the Sabbath. And there those same Pharisees and scribes are disputing with Jesus, disputing with the blind man, or previously blind man in this case. And they're trying to get that previously blind man to not follow Jesus. But that man doesn't listen to their voice. And then they just start to revile this man who has been healed. And in chapter 9, verse 34, this is what they say to that man who has been healed. "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And then the text says, and they cast him out. So get this. Here are men who are claiming to represent the God of mercy and compassion, of steadfast love, and here they are trying to destroy this man's faith. And they're casting him out of the religious community. And in light of that, we then come to our text in John 10. And we have in the same audience those hard-hearted and contentious religious leaders right there hearing this parable that Jesus is speaking. And Jesus speaks to them knowing that they're familiar with what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And so Jesus uses this imagery of shepherd and sheep, and that's not foreign to them. They might have in their mind the very text we read this morning, Ezekiel 34. And so they would know sheep, it's a reference to God's people. But what else did we hear in Ezekiel 34? Those false shepherds, these self-serving leaders who were neglecting the sheep, neglecting God's people. And that's precisely what we see these religious leaders doing. Jesus is speaking of them. We see that confirmed in John 10, verse 8, where it speaks of the thieves and the robbers going before and trying to lead God's people astray. And again, that's what they're doing. But there's even more. It's worse than that. What's the thief do in John 10:10? He is out to steal and kill and to destroy. And I already mentioned it in John 8. They tried to stone Jesus. If we read on in chapter 10, you see, glance at verse 31. Again, they're trying to stone, to kill Jesus. And we need to be aware in our day. There are hard-hearted religious leaders who are actively opposing the work of God. So we're aware of that. But we need to see something happening here. This is more than just some bad guys opposing Jesus. There's a greater reality happening here. You see, because back in John 8, when Jesus was talking to these leaders, he told them this: "You are of your father, the devil, and he was a murderer from the beginning." In other words, he's saying the ultimate thief, the ultimate one who is out to steal and kill and destroy, is the devil himself. And so as we are here at this text, we're seeing that warfare going on, Satan against God. And by extension, Satan against God's people. But despite all of Satan's attacks, all of Satan's attempts to use these false religious leaders to lead God's people astray, God's people, his sheep, do not listen to their voice. Do not listen to the voice of Satan that would want to lead them astray. Instead, they listen to another voice. And of course, our text tells us of that voice. Let me read verses 2 through 4 once again to just hear clearly. What voice is it that the sheep are listening to? Verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." There it is. The good shepherd will call, and the sheep will recognize that voice, and they'll follow after him. And the text is very explicit who that good shepherd is. We all know who it is. Verse 11, Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd." But don't miss the weight of him identifying himself as the good shepherd. We read it in Ezekiel 34. We just sang it in Psalm 23. The good shepherd throughout Scripture refers to Yahweh himself. So by Jesus identifying himself as the good shepherd, he is claiming to be Yahweh himself. What a weighty claim. And so this means that these religious leaders, as they contend against Jesus, they're actually contending against God himself, God in the flesh. Well, Jesus also says, verse 7, that he's the door of the sheep. And we see in him we find the way of salvation. In him we find life abundant, in him and in him alone. But how is it? How is it that Jesus has provided this way of salvation? How is it he has provided this abundant life? Our text leads us in that. Now look at verse 11. We'll see more of that. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That phrase, "for the sheep," could be translated "on behalf of the sheep." Jesus, the sinless one, the holy one, laid down his life for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep. Him at the cross, bearing the curse of death. We know the wages of sin is death. He bore that curse on himself in laying down his life that we would be given his perfect righteousness. But you see, that's not all. Jesus said he would do more than just lay down his life. What else did he say he would do? You see it there in verse 17. In the latter half, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. Jesus says, by his very power, that after he would lay down his life, he would take it up again. And of course, this in nugget form is what we know to be the gospel. What Paul summarizes in 1 Corinthians 15 as the gospel. Christ died in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, and after 3 days he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. The gospel. But note something here. I don't know if you caught it. Jesus said that he lays down his life not indiscriminately. In other words, it's not laid down for everyone. He didn't lay down his life for the wolves. He didn't lay his life down for the goats. It says he laid his life down and rose it up again for the sheep. See, when a husband goes and buys flowers for his wife, he's not buying flowers for just any woman out there. He has his specific wife, his wife in mind, and no other woman. It's an intentional, directional, specific love that he's demonstrating. And think of this with Jesus. Jesus makes clear that when he laid down his life and took it up again, that he had specifically his sheep in mind. But it gets more personal than that. Glance back to verse 3, and the end of verse 3, and see what it says of Jesus in relation to his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In other words, when Jesus was laying down his life, he knew all of his sheep individually by name. He laid down his life thinking of the apostle Peter by name. He laid down his life thinking of Lydia, who we find in Acts, believes upon the Lord. He laid down his life thinking of Augustine by name. Laid down his life thinking of John Knox by name. Laid down his life thinking of the congregation member in John Knox's congregation. We don't know that person's name, but Jesus does. My friends, you have embraced Christ. He knew you by name as he laid down his life in love and took it up again. What personal, directional, intentional, specific love your Savior has shown. How beautiful. Well, how is it then the sheep respond when they know of this love their good shepherd has shown? I've already mentioned a bit in verses 2 to 4, and it comes out in verse 5, but we see it, that Jesus calls his sheep, and they recognize his voice, and they follow after. You're not getting to meet my wife this morning, but we have two young daughters, and imagine with me, my wife is in the store. She has our two-year-old walking beside her, Eliana. And then a stranger comes up in the grocery store and says, "Hey, little girl." She doesn't even know her name. "Hey, little girl, come over here, follow me. I've got something to show you." And then my wife turns to Eliana and says, "Eliana, no, don't listen to her. Stay with me, follow me, hold on to the cart, we're going this way." And Eliana will listen to that familiar voice of her mother and will not listen to the voice of the stranger. And likewise, those sitting right here in this room today have heard that precious voice of the Savior. And you have repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ. And you have found Jesus to be the way of salvation. And you have found that abundant life that is in him. And it's life that's not just abundant now, but a promise of eternal life to come. But let me give a word of sober warning here. It's possible to be in church for years and years and years and still have not yet personally heard that voice, personally repented and believed in Christ. And so if that's you today, I urge you, come to the Good Shepherd. Come to Jesus. Come to Him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. Confess your sins to Him. Believe on Him, and you will experience that forgiveness of sins and that life abundant in Him. And when you have, and when you have put your faith in Christ, or if you already have, I want you to pay careful attention to how Jesus identifies you, His sheep. We hear this come out in verse 14, how He identifies us, His sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you hear it? Sheep. He calls you His own. Jesus says, you are my own, my possession. You are His, at His disposal. You are His possession. He has a claim on you as His sheep. But the thing is, though you have responded to Him and come to Him and you are His sheep, Jesus says there are still yet other sheep out there who have not yet responded, but they will come in. We hear that in verse 15. Let me read that again, verse 15 and then verse 16. And pay careful attention about the other sheep He speaks of. Verse 15. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus says, there are other sheep still wandering out there who have not yet come in. And He puts this moral imperative on Himself. I must bring them in, Jesus says of Himself. You see, the Father has given to the Son, Jesus, these people as His inheritance, as His possession. We sing about it in Psalm 2, the ends of the earth, the nations being the inheritance of the Son. In John 6:37, Jesus speaking, He speaks of the same idea. Let me just read that briefly. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. We see this then in parallel with John 10, that the Father has given a people to the Son. And the Son says, I must claim all of them. I must bring every single one of them into the flock. And I will do it without fail. If we were to use theological language here, we call this divine election and effectual calling. The Father gave the people to the Son. The Son has purchased them by His own blood. And they will not perish because Jesus guarantees it with His word that they will hear His voice and they will respond to Him. And they'll be united to Him, one flock under one shepherd, whether Jew or Gentile. They will all come in, coming to that good shepherd. You see, this is so important. Jesus puts His reputation at stake. Jesus says, I must bring them in. And so if Jesus fails to bring in one single sheep, He would be unfaithful to His promise. He would be not keeping His word if He doesn't bring one of His sheep that the Father has given to Him. So His reputation, He lays it on the line. He says, I will bring them in. And saints, we have seen Him to be faithful in our lives. We know He is a faithful shepherd. He always keeps His word. He has through the centuries in bringing His sheep to himself. He has to this present day in bringing you to him. But guess what? He's not done yet. He still has work to do. And saints, he wants to use you in that work. He has these other blood-bought sheep who are currently, in 2020, scattered somewhere out there. And they're weary and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And they're wondering, where can I find the way of salvation? Where can I find life abundance and forgiveness of sins? And they have not yet responded to Jesus because they have not yet heard his voice. And here's the dilemma. How is it that they're going to hear his voice in order to respond to him? Well, if you know your scriptures well, you know that the Apostle Paul dealt with that same dilemma, didn't he? Romans 10. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear of him without someone preaching? Saints, the sheep that are still scattered will hear the voice of their good shepherd through people like you and me bringing the gospel to them. We bring the voice of the good shepherd in bringing the gospel. And I acknowledge not all of us are called to be full-time preachers, but all of us in scriptures are declared to be witnesses. And so we go about our daily lives and we're witnesses to the person of Christ. We tell people of how we have found him to be the way of salvation and life abundant, and we witness of his person. We go about our daily life and witness of the work of Jesus Christ. Right? That gospel message that he died, buried, and has risen again for the forgiveness of sins. So we testify of that to others. And so this is the way that Jesus is commissioning you, his sheep, to go find more of his scattered sheep, is by means of bringing the gospel to them, by sharing the gospel without distinction of class or age or race or gender or background. We don't know who his sheep are out there. We just share abundantly, so widely, and then we'll find out when they start responding. And so, when you share the gospel with friends and families and neighbors, we don't forget the spiritual war that we talked about at the beginning. There will be some resistance. There will be people who revile in you and they don't want to hear it. But yet, we have such great encouragement because of the promises that Jesus has made. Some that you share with will recognize that voice and will respond to the gospel message. And we'll say, thank you for coming to my door and showing me where I can have my burden lifted, where the way of salvation is. Thank you. Saints, we have this privilege to bring that message of life to people, to sheep who will respond. And so we know no resistance will prevail against Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who says he must bring them in. And he will bring them in through the means of you and me, proclaiming his word. One person put it like this. Jesus has already purchased them. Our job is only to gather in what is already his. And so here is a call, an application for us to go forward, being intentional with bringing the gospel to others. You could mark on your calendar an evangelism outing as finding Jesus' sheep time. Be intentional. Go on that rescue mission looking for his sheep. And that gives us encouragement. You could knock on 99 doors and they all reject you. But you press on for that one. That one who will respond. The Apostle Paul dealt with this same dilemma. He got discouraged when he tried to go to the city of Corinth. He got discouraged that people wouldn't respond. And in Acts 18, God comes to Paul in a personal way and shares the same idea of what I'm sharing with you today in the sermon. God comes to Paul and says, Paul, keep on teaching, keep on preaching, because I still have people in this city. My people are there. It's just a matter of time. Keep sharing, keep going, keep laboring, and eventually you'll find my people. They will respond. And so we have that encouragement. Saints, be intentional and sharing here in Sterling or wherever you're from, intentional with the gospel, bringing it to them. But we recognize that those scattered sheep that Jesus is speaking of are not just nearby, but they're also far and wide. The wolf has scattered them to places that we would consider ends of the earth. And yet they are still Jesus' sheep. And we know the end game, don't we? We can go to the book of Revelation. We know how it all plays out. We know who will be there. In Revelation 5:9, we hear this. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people." Doesn't it sound like those reaching those slaves, beginning of our sermon? Ransomed by his blood, bought by Jesus. And who is it there worshiping the Lamb? People from every tribe, language, people, and nation. In other words, saints, Jesus has sheep in Saudi Arabia that he knows by name. He knows a Muhammad by name who will respond when Muhammad hears the gospel. He knows of a Raju in the unreached areas of Pakistan who is his sheep. He knows of a Minsu in North Korea by name that will respond when they hear the gospel. But the problem is, people are not going. There are not laborers yet going to some of these people who are in some sense ready to hear, but no laborers are going to them yet. And so, saints, we must be involved. We must be involved in reaching those sheep who are at the ends of the earth, who have not yet heard of the Good Shepherd. We must be specific in getting missionaries to those unreached lands. The stats are quite tragic. Of the approximately 12,000 people groups in the world, that's usually language groups, about 3,000 people groups, amounting to millions upon millions of people, still have not yet heard of Jesus even once, don't have a Bible in their language. Saints, we must be involved. Be involved in sending missionaries. Be involved in giving to missions. Be involved in praying for more laborers. One person put it this way: the harvest is too plentiful for us to ignore the millions of those lost apart from knowing Christ, and the laborers are too few for us to assume there's not a need for our direct involvement in reaching the world. So be intentional. Pray, send, give, and saints, some in this room might be called to go as well. Wrestle with God in this. God, are you calling me to be one who would go to those sheep who will respond out to the ends of the earth? Lord, send me, I'll go. Wrestle in your heart with that. Because saints, we know there's a sense of urgency. We know there is only one way, that one gate, the Lord Jesus, by which we must be saved. So saints, the Good Shepherd Jesus, your Good Shepherd, he is out to gather every last one of his sheep, and he'll do it without fail. But don't forget that he uses means. Your good shepherd uses the likes of you and me. And so may you be faithful to go and find the sheep of the law, the sheep of the good shepherd, even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we delight to hear of how good you have been to us, our shepherd, leading us, guiding us, feeding us, taking care of us, showing us the way of salvation, the way of life. And we rest in that. And yet, you give us the privilege to be involved in your work, to go, to find those lost sheep. So, Lord, may we be faithful. May you use us. May we delight to bring that voice of the Good Shepherd even to the ends of the earth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.